Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
You got that right, The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at edage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. As always, we promise a great show, and we always deliver. You can count on that. Gene Bliss is with us here momentarily, our customer experience, and basically find your best customers and love them. So a little TLC from Gene, and a little bit later on this hour, Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence, is going to talk about bloggers. And if you're not a blogger, you probably ought to be one. We also have Tim Zuckert with us today out of Greenwich, Connecticut. Tim is president and CEO of Shift Control Media. He's also the president and the chief executive officer. Well, we'll tell you more about Tim in just a few moments before we bring him on. But Brad, how the heck are you doing?
Well, I got to tell you, Ray, it's been a great week, and things are looking up. And I know, you know, you guys dealing with the remnants of Ike still out of the news for the rest of the world, but not so much out of your world there in Houston.
Oh no, just this past week they got the power back for the few people who didn't have it back, and that was almost a couple of weeks worth of lack of power. So big changes there. You want to know what the funny thing is as it relates to advertising? I'm driving down the road, and of course many of the billboards who have the vinyls and such, well, they're blown down. The ones that structurally were bad, they're completely gone. The vinyls are gone. But there is one billboard on this particular road, and I look at it and I go, I didn't think they allowed cigarette advertising anymore. It's a doggone Marlboro billboard. One of the originals. I should have taken a picture of it. It's that funny. Isn't that funny? A Marlboro billboard.
So what are they doing? Are they just keeping it up to, I mean, put some panels up there from the old days?
Well, No. It's one of the original. It's when they did cigarette advertising on boards. The rest of the stuff just blew away.
I see. So it's like archaeological dig, and you get down to, you know, what?
To that layer, and that, yeah, exactly. So there you go. The Marlboro man lives on a billboard when he's not supposed to be, influencing children and young adults.
That's a great setup for a story. Stuart Elliott, our friend here at the show and also a writer for the New York Times, wrote an article recently, Ray, about tobacco advertising. We all remember, if you're old enough, you remember tobacco advertising. And if you're really old and not like Ray and I, but even older.
You're probably dead because if you smoked back then, you're not doing so well.
That's true. But there was a time, and we've talked about this on the show before, where Mickey Mantle and medical professionals and doctors proclaimed the merits of smoking a particular cigarette brand. Well, apparently there's an exhibit opening, or I should say opened recently in New York, which presents cigarette ads from the 20s through the 50s in an effort to demonstrate what has changed since then and what may not have changed. But the exhibit of hundreds of print ads and television commercials is titled Not a Cough in a Carload, Images Used by Tobacco Companies to Hide the Hazards of Smoking. The first part of the title is borrowed from an old slogan from Old Gold Cigarettes. Not that you and I would remember that. The exhibit will be on display through December 26th at Healy Hall at the Science, Industry, and Business Library, the New York Public Library.
Wow. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, I do remember. Boy, do I remember. Tim Zuckert's joining us today here in just a few minutes. Tim is president and chief executive officer of Shift Control Media, a branded entertainment company that creates original games and related social media applications for innovative marketers. Based on his work with such blue chip advertisers like Pepsi, Frito-Lay, and Hershey Foods, Tim identified a market opportunity to leverage the popularity and pervasiveness of games and the viral distribution power of social networks to help brands connect with consumers in more relevant ways. To achieve this, he built an organization with a unique blend of game industry authenticity and brand marketing expertise. That sounds like a winning combination, doesn't it? We've got Tim joining us here in just a few moments. Right now, it's Gene Bliss, the customer experience. Find your best customers and give them a hug. Let's see what that's all about.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
During rough economic times, find your best customers and love them. Your best customers, whether you call them promoters from how they rank you or your highest value customers, if they're hanging in there with you, they deserve all the love you can give. First, let them know that you're glad they're sticking around. Then reach out to them. Are you developing new products or services? Bring a group of your best customers in for an evening of food and feedback. Perhaps you can send them a letter acknowledging that you value your relationship with them and offer an extra service. One company I work with rotates their executives through outbound calling their best customers per month. The impact of this simple, personal, and humane contact, especially right now, lets your customers know that you care about them and you are reaching out to help. That in itself will set you apart.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
That is good stuff, as always, from Gene Bliss, the customer experience, here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. Tim Zuckert, president and CEO of Shift Control Media. Tim has a much longer bio, okay? It's not two pages, but it comes very close here. We'll tell you more about Tim in just a little while. Internet advertising up 15.2% in the first half of 2008. I don't think we're going to see any type of a problem as we close out the year. I mean, facing a souring economy, U.S. internet ad revenue grew 15.2% during the first half of 2008 to $11.5 billion compared to the year-end earlier period, according to a new report issued by Interactive Advertising Bureau and PricewaterhouseCoopers. So, second quarter of 2008, up 12.8% from a year ago. It's on the rise. And it's something that if you are a marketer, an advertiser, you should seriously think about. If you haven't thought about that, well, maybe you should probably get dial-up out of your house and get DSL or something, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
For real. Well, you know, Ray, I was going to mention, by the way, you mentioned the long bio on him. I think it says at the very end, if you look at that second page, authors, Mr. and Mrs. Zuckert. So.
Well, they're very proud of their boy. I mean, come on now.
Yeah. Kudos to the family there that came up with that. Hey, you've heard the saying, oh, that's so gay, right?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I cannot believe that. And my advice to people who are on that committee and doing that pro bono campaign, why don't you go build a homeless man a house? Or why don't you go feed somebody in a soup line? Or why don't you do something that actually makes sense?
Well, I think we hit Ray's go button there. Just for in case you don't know, PSA campaign created by the Ad Council to try to keep people from using that slang when you say that's so gay, and that's what we're talking about.
Give me a break.
You know, Leno does it a lot, uses that, and you know, I think it's just part of the lexicon of our culture. I don't think there's anything negative meant by it, but
of course,
you know, if anything, it's putting the gay community in a more mainstream way. But apparently, there's some negative association, at least from the gay and lesbian crowd.
To the group that's putting that together, go do something else. Have a nice day. Back in just a minute with more on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
These are the three largest selling soft drinks. Now, let's have a look and see what makes them so popular. As you can see, this one is a cola. It looks like a cola.
On The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, as promised, our very special guest out of Greenwich, Connecticut, it is Tim Zuckert, President and CEO of Shift Control Media. By the way, some of the clients, Brad, American Express, Coca-Cola, Energizer, NBC Universal, Starwood Hotels, and Yahoo, all relatively small companies, unfortunately. So, you know, I've heard of them, but I'm not sure. Hey, Tim, it is so good to have you here at The Advertising Show. Welcome.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, and try to get some brand names that people would recognize with your firm, Tim. I mean, my goodness.
Working on that.
And if we hear some crunching and some fizzy noise in the background, I guess we need to throw Frito-Lay and Pepsi in there, Ray. Tim, CEO of Shift Control Media, before we talk about how your firm approaches game marketing differently than your competitors, why don't you give our listeners a little bit of an overview about what you guys do for your clients?
Sure. Well, Shift Control Media is a branded entertainment company, and we create original games and social media applications and all the marketing strategy that goes with that for brands, as you mentioned, like American Express and Coca-Cola and NBC and Starwood and Yahoo. And essentially what that all means is we identified a need that marketers have to engage with consumers in ways that are, you know, ever more meaningful and help them make their brands more interesting. And what better way than to tap into one of the largest and most pervasive forms of entertainment out there than games. And essentially we saw an opportunity in the marketplace because we saw a lot of the work that marketers were doing using games as not really helping them to move their marketing messages forward. So we started Shift Control with the idea being, let's take our expertise that we had from working in the game industry at companies like EA and THQ and Disney Interactive, and our work, as you mentioned at the onset of the show, in consumer marketing space for brands like Apple Computer, Pepsi, Frito-Lay, as well as some of the leading agency holding groups like Omnicom, and bring that to bear for brands to help them create original and engaging games.
Well, here at The Advertising Show, we like to stay on top of things. And I believe, Ray, it was at least a couple of years ago, we had an executive on from EA. It was a creative person, as I recall, talking about what at that time was early stage development of games and right, and the future of potential marketing embedded in games. We're going to hold off, and a little bit later, Tim, we're going to talk about not only how to market in-game properly, but some of the misconceptions of how marketers out there are attempting to integrate into games and not doing a good job about it. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about some of the misconceptions about the gaming community, if you will. Share with us a little review of the game demographics, et cetera.
Yeah, well, I think what's interesting is most people, when they think about who plays games, they tend to think about little boys and young men sitting in their parents' basements, you know, drinking soda and eating pizza. And the reality is that today, according to the Entertainment Software Association, something like 72% of all Americans play one form of a game or another. The average age of a gamer is 33 years old, and 72% of those are 18 and above. And here's one that may surprise people. Women 18 plus represent a larger portion of the game playing population at 31% than boys 17 and under at 20%.
That's amazing.
So there's a lot of myths out there about the fact that games are really just for little kids, when the reality is, particularly when we start looking at what I believe Nielsen calls connected gamers, gamers who are connected in one way or another to the internet, 64% of those are women. And there's 117 million people in the United States spending an hour or more a week on a gaming device.
Correct.
So the opportunity and the size of the market is really huge. You know, I heard a statistic recently that there was $19 billion in the U.S. alone in revenue from the game industry in 2007, making it the largest form of entertainment, bigger than box office, new music, or DVD sales. And, you know, you laid out some very impressive statistics about the growth of interactive marketing. The growth of gaming from 06 to 07 was 28%, and I believe that's supposed to hold steady from 07 to 08 as well. So we're seeing not only a mainstreaming of a very important new media and new form of entertainment, but also a very significant industry from a revenue standpoint.
You know, huge growth, and I'm sure there are many marketers listening to our show today that may be waking up to these statistics, which, you know, if you gaming is not a part of your marketing program, you need to really take a hard look at it. Give us a little bit of lay of the land on gaming, if you would, Tim. Various ways of marketing in game, and let's maybe start with AdverGaming.
Sure. Well, we really see four key ways that brands are interacting with games today. I'll start out with AdverGaming, which is, you know, AdverGaming has been typically taking, you know, fairly shallow games and reskinning those on behalf of a brand. So there are companies out there who create, you know, individual game engines, and then they maybe it's a card game or a billiards game, and they'll take a logo and they'll place it over the top of the billiards table, or they'll take an existing game that they've got, and they'll do what's called reskinning and make that available for a particular brand. And we think that that's obviously sort of a lose-lose proposition for brands. It's oftentimes delivering sort of an unfulfilling play experience, and it also doesn't tend to reflect particularly well on the brand. So, you know, what happens in that situation is consumers go in, they play a game for maybe 5 minutes, and there's really no reason for them to come back. Another form of the way that brands are interacting with games is product placement. They're putting their products, such as a car brand, going inside of a racing game, or using an in-game ad inside of a hardcore console game. And these represent ways to make a game more realistic. So in the case of the car brand going inside of a racing game, it does make that racing game more realistic, and it's a place where the brand is expected to be. So from that standpoint, it makes sense from a marketing standpoint, but really doesn't offer the brand an opportunity to tell its own story, and by telling its own story, make itself more interesting. So that's another way that brands are playing inside of games.
On the Advertising Show, let's take a break here for just a minute, Tim, okay? It's Tim Zuckert, who is our special guest this weekend, president and CEO of Shift Control Media. And we've got to take a quick break. We'll be back more with Tim here in just a minute. Ray Schillen's Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Stronger than dirt.
It is all about Shift Control Media. And a very special guest out of Greenwich, Connecticut this weekend is the president and CEO of Shift Control, and it's Tim Zuckert. Tim, welcome back to the show. It is so good to have you here.
Well, thanks very much. Nice to be here.
Yeah, well, we're honored to have you today, Tim. And you were mentioning the four approaches to gaming, marketing and games. AdverGaming was one, product placement. Why don't you pick up on that?
Sure. So as we were talking about, there's four different ways. There's integration, which is putting products inside of games or advertising inside of games, as we're starting to see billboards and things like that show up inside of traditional console games. There's sponsorships where advertisers are actually running ads inside of popular casual game sites like Yahoo Games or Pogo.com as an example of a couple of those. Then there's the creation of original games, so creating games that help the brand to tell its own story. And I guess advergaming would sort of fit inside of there, although there, as we discussed before, not always the most original games. A lot of times it's just a simple reskin to an existing game that's being resold from one brand to another. And then the fourth area, which is a burgeoning area right now, is the social networking space, Facebook and MySpace among the most well-known. But even things like Xbox Live Arcade, which is a way that people who have Microsoft Xbox systems can play games against one another online. So there's really a range of different opportunities. But we at Shift Control Media, we think that the best opportunities really lie in the creation of original games and the distribution of those games through the social networks. And the reason that we think that that's so important is the brands are really looking for an opportunity to tell their own story, to create a mythology, to bring people into their world. And through original games, just like with original television programming or to a certain extent through creative advertising, the brand has an opportunity to differentiate itself from its competitors and bring the world, bring the consumers rather into their world. And with 250 million people on Facebook and MySpace alone already connected to all of their friends, that offers a great environment for people to be able to invite one another to engage and to play games among other activities that they're doing inside of the social networking space.
Yeah, well, I think all of that makes a lot of good sense, and certainly, as you point out, the creation of original content and games as well as distribution through social networks seems to be the more cutting-edge way to go with that, and certainly the advert gaming and product placement seems to be really old school. As you describe all that, I think we're all familiar with those approaches. Give us a real-world, more recent example. You can either use one of your own clients, something that's out there right now, or maybe another example that's not a client that would be an example of creating original content and the relevance back to the brand.
Sure. Well, one recent example is Coca-Cola came to us along with their interactive agency, and they were very interested in bringing people into the world that they had created through one of their Super Bowl commercials. The commercial was called Happiness Factory, and in the commercial, a guy goes up to a Coca-Cola vending machine, puts a coin inside, and all of a sudden you're taken into this incredibly animated 3D environment where different fantastical characters take the bottle and they carry the bottle to the conveyor belt and they fill it up with the liquid and then they put the love in the bottle and then they carry the bottle back to the conveyor belt and essentially shoot fireworks over the top of it to celebrate its launch. And what Coke wanted to do was they wanted to allow people to really interact with those characters and to get a chance to apply for a job as one of them. So you could be the Chinook, the big helicopter shaped like a pig that would fly the bottle into the scene, or you could be the Capper character that would put the cap on top of the bottle, or the Kissy Puppy that would put the love inside the bottle. So Shift Control created original games for each of those four characters that Coca-Cola has now launched in over 40 different markets around the world. And the games gave people an opportunity to, in the case of the Capper, for example, to pull the tension down on the catapult and to get the angle just right so that the Capper could land on top of the bottle. or in the case of the Mortarmen, who shoot out of cannons to celebrate the launch of another wonderful bottle of Coca-Cola, they get a chance to play a virtual hot potato where you're shooting a Mortarmen out of one cannon across the bottle and over to the other side. So these are fun games first and foremost. They offer multiple levels of gameplay. They're very rich graphics with lots of detail and cinematic cutaways. So it's a great experience, but it also incorporates the Coca-Cola product in very relevant ways that make people feel good about their relationship with Coca-Cola and understand the incredible creativity that Coca-Cola and its marketing agencies have. And so it's never thinly veiled advertising. Shift Control believes strongly that what we're trying to do is create a lot of interest in the brand by generating these really genuine and new forms of interactive entertainment. And what we've seen is that when people come in and they play these games, they're playing them for 10 or 15 minutes. So imagine the value to a brand like a Coca-Cola or a Starwood Hotels or an NBC Universal when people are interacting with their brand voluntarily for 10 or 15 minutes as opposed to maybe passively watching a television commercial for 30 seconds.
Tim Zuckert is our special guest. We're interacting with Tim, actually, right as we speak here. President and CEO at Shift Control Media with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on the advertising show. It's being powered by Shipple.com, an incredibly cool marketing tool for the web, S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. And check it out. It's called the Tendency. That's the magic pill, so to speak. Back with Tim and Ray and Brad here in just a moment.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, blah,
so much to talk about here at The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, but we throw in those silly commercials. What is that all about, anyway? Tim Zuckert's our special guest out of Greenwich, Connecticut, president and CEO at Shift Control Media. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, and a great example last segment, Coke, and they're engaging with the consumer through gaming, and certainly a great opportunity for brands to connect on a deeper level with consumers. A great example. So let's imagine you're Coke and they hired you to do that, and they're circling back around. It's launched, and how do they gauge ROI, Tim?
Well, you know, Shift Control believes strongly that that brands should be looking at ROI, because not only are games one of the most engaging forms of entertainment online and the most popular form of entertainment online, more so than online video and even social networking, according to some recent studies that we saw. But ROI is a really important metric, and it's measured in terms of things like, I mean, broadly speaking, consumer engagement. So what does consumer engagement mean? Well, at Shift Control, we look at the number of people that were able to get to play the games, the number of pass-alongs for those games. How many of your friends are you forwarding this to? Because in essence, if you're forwarding it on to somebody, that equates to free media for the brand that's sponsoring the game. How much time are they spending with the game? And ultimately, how is somebody converting from their usage of a game into either a lead for the brand that's sponsoring the game or an actual sale for that game, for that brand, rather? So some of the metrics that we've seen, I'll give you some specific numbers. I won't tie them into a specific brand, but as I mentioned before, we're seeing an average of 10 to 15 minutes worth of gameplay per session. We're seeing people passing games on 40% of the time. So imagine for every ad that you ran, if this was equated to advertising, if 40% of those people told somebody else and had them watch the ad, these are people who are recommending that their friends and colleagues come and play these games. So these are very, very compelling metrics. And then in terms of conversions, that really varies depending on on what it is that the brand is trying to do, whether they're just trying to get you to sign up so that they can start a dialogue with you, or whether they're actually trying to get you to ultimately make a purchase decision. But the reality is that we can use points and scoring mechanisms and leaderboards and digital assets as a way to actually encourage certain behaviors, whether that behavior is come and play the game, tell a friend about the game, or, you know, play the game and then actually go in and purchase or interact with the product in some way and come back and have that turn into virtual rewards in the game or real world rewards when you go out to a retail store.
Yeah, and a word of caution, if you're a marketer and you're too focused on conversions, I think you're just short-sighted and you're not doing your company and your brand a service by too much emphasis on conversions. As you just described, there are many, many different ways of adding in additional considerations for ROI, benchmarks, et cetera. This past Wednesday, Tim, Google announced that it will be introducing its long-delayed AdSense for Games, a network that will place ads on many gaming sites. For those that aren't aware, they're going to be either text, graphics, or video, but Google says that it believes the format will be particularly appealing to 15- and 30-second television commercials that are inserted before or during or after the game. Your thoughts?
Again, I think there's a place for advertising inside of games, but I think in the case where people have purchased a game, a lot of the research that we've seen is that when the ads make the game more realistic, it's welcome. When it's an interruption to what they're doing, it's not as welcome. And so I think marketers need to be very careful when they're putting advertising in and around games and recognize the fact that this is sort of trying to do the old thing in a new medium. We're trying to push messages at people in a medium where they are choosing what and when and how they want to interact with something. So in general, I think that advertising in and around games is a derivative experience. What Shift Control is trying to do is create new experiences for brands from the ground up to help them tell their story in more interesting ways. I think whenever you're the thing that's getting in between what somebody really wants to do, which in this case is playing a game, that you run the risk of not being seen as favorably. Now, that said, I've seen lots of research reports that show that advertising inside of games is getting some effectiveness. It's getting high recall rates because people are spending significant amounts of time with their favorite games. So I think it's sort of a double-edged sword. I just think that marketers need to be careful about where they're placing these ads and what type of experience the consumer is actually having and set their expectations accordingly.
And on that note, we have to say goodbye to Tim. But Tim, thanks for dropping by today. By the way, one thing we didn't talk about was the web address, and that is shiftcontrolmedia.com. Tim, it's been an absolute pleasure learning about your company and what you guys do. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me on to represent Shift Control. And it's even easier than that. You can just go to shiftcontrol.com, and you'll find everything there about how we work and the types of brands that we've been able to create original games for.
Even better, shiftcontrol.com. With Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, this is The Advertising Show with more coming your way in just a moment.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas, and this is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details, while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a PR campaign to include people who couldn't make it to the G8 rally, they got 53,000 people to join a virtual protest and a campaign that won 2 international creative awards. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put us to the test. Just go to openad.net and give us a try. What have you got to lose? The future starts here.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
You know me. Would you believe I'm Bugs Bunny? I'm also the voice of many other cartoon characters. But in here, they don't care if I'm Elmer Fudd. So
that's Tim Zucker. What a nice guy. Glad to have him on The Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. John Gersma, or Gersima, We don't know until next week when we actually ask him how to pronounce his name. We'll be with us next week here on the Advertising Show. I do know how to say this, though. Shamin Abbas, okay? Say that three times real quick, huh? Shamin Abbas is our activist for excellence, and she's talking about bloggers today. Let's listen to that.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
How to engage bloggers. Bloggers can be an absolutely priceless source of promotion and exponential word-of-mouth marketing. Adding bloggers to your media outreach can increase your saturation tremendously if they like what you're selling. Setting aside the raging debates about journalism versus blogging, your media outreach should include relevant bloggers and websites. Now, unlike members of the media who are constantly solicited and pitched, citizen bloggers, for the most part, are still excited to be approached with new products. Regular blog readers enthusiastically embrace the things that receive positive recommendations, and they in turn spread the word, post comments, and engage in dialogue with one another. We saw this firsthand when we introduced a revolutionary cosmetic product to the bloggers at the same time as we began pitching the national glossies. The response was exponential, as each blogger who responded and posted a review was picked up by another, and then we believe that the online buzz helped us with the print beauty editors. Be aware that bloggers also tend to be highly opinionated and operate in an environment where it's socially acceptable to both gush over something or completely vilify it in ways they wouldn't if the relationship were in person or if the blogger was held to journalistic standards. A positive review from bloggers is typically very gratifying. A negative review can be replete with insults and venom. Clients' first reaction to inflammatory blog reviews is to often ask that you do something about it. In the absence of slanderous statements, the best way to deal with negative blog posts is to ignore them. A single defensive post in the comment thread can instigate pages of flaming, grandiose insults. Bloggers and posters are passionate in their opinions and will often start wars with other posters who disagree. This is never the desired result for your client. If you're going to send your press releases to bloggers, do your homework. Visit the site to make sure it's the right environment for your pitch. Find out the preferred contact method and use it. Offer to send review samples if they're interested. Be sure to tell them that you're looking forward to their feedback once they've had a chance to review the product. If you treat them as professionals whose opinions matter to you, you'll find the majority of them are polite, enthusiastic, and happy to let you know just how they feel. You may even get some vital suggestions for improving your product, package, or marketing approach. These bloggers and their tribes of readers want to be engaged, and if they feel like they've been heard, you have fans for life.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Thanks again to Tim. Looking forward to hooking up with John next week. John Grzyma. We hope that's right, John. We apologize if it's not. Out of Los Angeles, an advertising age this past week, Hyundai Motor America has purchased all of the commercials abandoned by GM because, well, they don't have enough in the bank there. For next February's Academy Awards telecast, Advertising Age has found that out. It's unclear which models Hyundai's six-unit Oscar buy will feature, although its upmarket sedan Genesis is a good bet. You know, it's funny, you look at some of those cars that Hyundai is marketing, and you go, what is that? What is that? And then you look at the sticker, and it's a Hyundai, and you go, oh, it's a Hyundai. So, I mean, to me, it's odd. I don't know.
They've got some brand issues, I think.
Well, yeah, well, they own the brand. They got a brand of being a low-priced vehicle. I guess I give credits to the people who put them together and made these things look like Mercedes or something.
Well, I mean, that's the point. They've got a low-price image, and yet the car looks like a Mercedes in some cases. And there's a disconnect, I think, between who those cars maybe could appeal to and that maybe a better price point than who they, you know, I don't know that a person that buys that range of vehicle is connecting with that type of a car design, is what I'm saying.
I agree with that. The Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. Advertising Show. Big Radio Midgets Production. Hope you enjoyed the show today. And hope you come back next week. John Gersma will be our special guest with Ray Schoens. Also, tell a friend about the Advertising Show. Can you do that for us? This is a Big Radio Midgets production.